Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God which has been given in the churches of Macedonia, that in great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much entreaty for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. And this, not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. Consequently, we urge Titus that as he had previously made a beginning, so he would also complete in you this gracious work as well. But just as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all earnestness and in the love we inspired in you, see that you abound in this gracious work also. I'm not speaking this as a command, but as proving through the earnestness of others the sincerity of your love also. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. And I give my opinion in this matter, for this is to your advantage, who were the first to begin a year ago, not only to do this, but also to desire to do it. But now finish doing it also, that just as there was the readiness to desire it, so there may be also the completion of it by your ability. For if the readiness is present, it is acceptable according to what a man has, not according to what he does not have. For this is not for the ease of others and for your affliction, but by way of equality. At this present time, your abundance, being a supply for their want, that their abundance also may become a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little had no lack. But thanks be to God, who puts the same earnestness on your behalf in the heart of Titus. For he not only accepted our appeal, but being himself very earnest, he has gone to you in his own accord. And we have sent along with him the brother whose fame in the things of the gospel has spread through all the churches. And not only this, but also he has also been appointed by the churches to travel with us in this gracious work, which is being administered to us for the Lord, for the glory of the Lord himself, and to show our readiness, taking precaution that no one should discredit us in our administration of this generous gift. For we have regard for what is honorable, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have often tested and found diligent in many things, but now even more diligent because of his great confidence in you. As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker among you. As for our brethren, they are messengers of the churches, a glory to Christ. Therefore, openly, before the churches, show them the proof of your love and of your reason for boasting about you. Amen. Okay, so chapter 8 and chapter 9 that we'll deal with tomorrow is dealing with the what they call the Jerusalem contribution, and seemingly the church in Jerusalem was really really struggling. There was a famine in the 40s. It's funny when we say 40s, we think like 1940s. This is actually the real 40s, right? And so in the 40s, there was a huge famine in Jerusalem, and as a result of this, the church in Jerusalem was really hurting. And these would have been the Judean Christians that were there. And an appeal went out through the apostles to the council that maybe other brothers all over the region, in essence, really, that Paul was sent out to minister in these regions, that they could take up a collection because they were prospering in these places. And I'll explain why we say that in a little bit later on. And so they were sent out as part of the contribution. Partly also as well, some scholars believe that it was a result of a lot of elderly people. They would actually go to Jerusalem, back to the holy city, to retire. Very common that we see these days. And so there was a huge population of widows during this time that the church had a responsibility to take care of, widows and orphans, actually. And so we see in a lot of Paul's letters, he deals with these two primary segments of society. And he felt the church had a real burden, not negatively, but positively, to really go forth. And well, let me just point on that burden. In verse 4, he's talking about the Macedonian churches. And these churches would be the Philippians, the Thessalonians, and also the Bereans. They would make up the Macedonian churches. And so these guys, they made a commitment to the Lord, to Paul, and to this this Jerusalem contribution, and they made a commitment, but they actually gave above and beyond that commitment. And so they basically kind of, you know, kind of like our vision fund, right? They said, this is what I can do. And then they actually gave above and beyond. But Paul notes them because the whole point of the second half of this letter is to remind the church in Corinth of the pledge that they had already made, that they had not come through with yet. And so you're saying, hey, these guys, and during this time in Macedonia, and verse 2 says, and that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. Seemingly, in the midst of their pledge and their giving, during that time, the church in Macedonia experienced an incredible financial hardship. They don't really share what exactly happened. They don't know why the hardship, but seemingly, in the churches, they were hit tremendously financially. And most likely, it was because maybe as they became Christians, maybe other business people didn't want to deal with them. You're dealing with a very cultic society. And so once they turned to Christ, seemingly that people around them turned their back on them, and maybe their businesses or whatnot. But in any case, their faith, their Christian faith, caused a great financial burden in their lives. But even though they had this great financial burden, they still gave, and they gave with joy. And Paul is just simply giving them an example of what's going on. The Corinthians are in a very different way, so much so that seemingly this was such a huge financial burden on the Macedonians that Paul kind of excused them from following through. He basically said, hey, I know that you made this pledge. It's cool, man. You don't have to do it. I understand what's going on. And in verse 4, it says, they begged us that they would participate. The word participate is the word draws from the word koinonia, which is we get the idea of sharing. And this is koinonia means is the word for fellowship, for godly fellowship, and we usually use this to describe the gathering of the church. There's koinonia there. There's a godly fellowship and a sharing. And so Paul is uses the same word to recognize that when they were giving and they begged us, no, we want to participate. We want to share in this thing. And it was, imagine, it wasn't just money that was being passed. There was a real sharing of their hearts. It was koinonia was happening as they were participating. And it's pretty profound when you think about this. They beg, no, we know times are tough, we know it's difficult, but man, we want to participate in this thing. We are together, we are one, we're experiencing koine, you know, in our lives, and so we want to participate in the support of these saints. And he says they gave themselves to the Lord, and then by the will of God, they just continue to go on. And then verse 6, consequently, we urge Titus that as he had previously made a beginning, so that he would also complete in you this gracious work as well. Seemingly, Paul initiated this pledge drive, this fundraising drive, but seemingly the drive kind of died. For whatever reason, it didn't go very well. Maybe there was, again, a good response. You know, I'm sure they didn't have a pledge card, you know, but we can bring it to kind of what we do. They filled out these cards, they sent them in, but then nothing happened. And so Titus went back to kind of start it all over again. That's what he's meant by previously made a beginning. And it says, and now just as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all earnestness, love that we inspired in you, that you may abound in this gracious work as well. And this is a little bit of Paul's fundraising strategy. I'm not speaking this as a command, but as proving through the earnestness of others the sincerity of your love also. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. This is what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, look, I'm not giving you a command. Paul could very easily have said, listen, I'm the apostle here. I'm the main guy. You just listen to me, man. Right? You just get your act together. You promise this thing. I'm here right now. You just obey what you're already pledged to the Lord. He could have very easily said that. He actually had the authority to say, the spiritual authority as the founder and leader of this church, to say, listen, I'm your leader. Do it, man. Right? Quit farting around. Just take care of business. But he didn't do that. And this is one of Paul's strategies, not just in raising money, but in through his epistles, when he talks about being holy or all these things, he always makes an appeal to grace. And he tells us, and he's telling these guys in Corinth, look, you can give because God had given us so much already. That's his strategy. He's saying you've already experienced grace. You've already experienced so much. In fact, Jesus became poor that you might become rich. And Paul, he always, I can't say always, but his primary strategy, he's always appealing to the grace of God over us. It could be in the area of holiness. He writes a lot about the area of sexual purity, and he reverts back to the grace of God, that we've experienced his grace in the area of holiness in these other areas. And he's saying, look, you've experienced so much grace in the Lord. God has blessed you so much with not just financial things, earthly things, but heavenly things. There is so much grace over your life, and so give. He's saying it is a natural response to what you've already received in your life. You know, he's not showing them, you know, pictures of orphans and, you know, starving kids, and he's not making that kind of appeal. He's not telling, you know, sob stories about, you know, this unwed mother, and, you know, like, you know, I mean, I'm thank goodness, man, we live in Hong Kong. We don't get that Christian junk mail anymore, right? That you know, I mean, this is my own pet peeve, but man, these guys are like begging for money, and they're giving me they're sending me a letter like every 3 days. I'm like, man, you must have a lot of money for postage. Why don't you use that money to, you know, to take care of these widows and these orphans? You know, in any case, that's a whole other thing. And so, but he doesn't appeal to those things. He says, look, appeal to the grace of God. God has given us so much in our life. We have experienced so much grace. Jesus Christ became poor that we might become rich. And so out of that abundance, please, you know, fulfill your pledge. Now, he's not twisting someone's arm, you know, in the sense that he's not getting them to do something. He's actually just reminding them of what they've already committed. And seemingly, when you read this text, they did it on their own. They just said, okay, yeah, we want to help our brothers and sisters in Jerusalem and be a part of this contribution. And so he's just reminding them of this, but he's appealing to the grace. He's appealing to the grace. How much more of an incredible strategy is that, you know, in our lives? Not that we're trying to draw strategy from this, but whatever we do, didn't the scriptures tell us it's his kindness that leads us to repentance? Right? It's the kindness of God that leads us to that repentance. And so he's appealing to these guys, man, you know, so just finish doing, in verse 11, that there was the readiness to desire it, so now that there may also the completion of it by your ability. And see, he's appealing to the Corinthians because they actually had extra money flowing in. And if you remember earlier on, he'll tell them, set aside money once a week, and so that when we come, we can pick up a collection. He's really talking about disposable income. And he's saying that, you know, after all your bills, after all these things, your tithes and everything you give to the church, when you have something left aside, just set a few of those things a little bit aside. Now, they didn't have a lot, but they had some, and he just gives them advice, set some aside, and then when I come, we can bring the collection, and it will seem quite generous. The little bit aside is seemingly not that big, but the accumulation of weeks of this as the congregation, then when it comes out, oh, it's going to be, you know, quite nice, quite big and generous. And he's giving this supply. So he's talking to people here that actually have some means, contrasting with the Macedonians that were struggling, but yet were so, so joyful in giving to the Lord. You know, I know I prayed this over the church, and, you know, I think many, many years ago when I was talking about, when we're talking about giving and a lot of these different things, you know, I would mention to the congregation, and one, I would always pray, and maybe, you know, you don't want to thank me for praying this prayer over the church, but I always pray that there would be times in our life when we would give and it would really hurt. I mean, it would really hurt. God would challenge us so much that it would actually hurt us in a way, hurt our flesh, but abounding in life to our spirit. That's never really changed. I still pray that over the church, you know, that we would truly be a generous people and that goes above and beyond ourselves and our abilities. That's one aspect. Another aspect of that is that God, when that happens, or when we're challenged to do that and we come through, that God would fill us with so much joy that it is like out of left field, that there's no reason for me to feel this joyful, sacrificing so much. But that's what God does in his kingdom. And that's what the Macedonians here are feeling. And so he's contrasting this. Here's this Macedonian church that's struggling, that's financially in incredible hardship, but that's begging to participate in this thing. And then he turns to the Corinthians and says, look, guys, you've made this pledge. You know, follow through with it. Your heart was in the right place. Now let's follow through with it. Let's express that love that you have. And he's making this kind of picture together. And then towards the end of chapter 8, he talks about Titus and, you know, Titus and another disciple that they send over to administrate and handle these funds. And he's saying, you know, these funds are without reproach. God's going to work through this. We're not going to, you know, it's going to have incredible integrity in this thing. And then he continues this thought on through chapter 9. And the way, if you want to have a little outline of what he's saying, basically to the end of this, he's talking about this collection. You know, the reason why you need to complete it, and then the next reason why you need to complete it is the example of Christ. And then the third reason is the requirements of honor. He's basically saying, you guys gave your word. You know, fulfill your honor now. And the last thing, the reason is the fulfillment of their stewardship as part of their Christian stewardship before the Lord. And chapter 9 is really a very common verse that we use when we talk about giving and these things. We'll get to that tomorrow a little bit and try to draw a little more depth of meaning on through this. And so let's close our eyes today. And so let's talk about giving this morning. Now, we spent quite a bit of time this year, I think 5 messages on giving in the midst of the Lord's Prayer. And so we don't have to touch base on all these things. But just, I mean, it's a simple, as a member of Solomon's Porch, are you sharing? Is there koinonia? Are you giving with liberality? Giving with generosity, especially in the sense of a stewardship and partnership? Are we just giving simply what we can? Or maybe is God challenging us to go a little deeper? I'm not saying this because the church needs money. Actually, I don't think we do. But it's our relationship with God. And I'm not just talking about giving to the church either. I'm talking about being generous. Generous to your family. Generous to your house church members. Generous to your colleagues. Why? Because we have so generously received grace from God, and there's an overflow that's there. We can talk about generosity of time and all that stuff, but the Corinthians is actually talking about money. And so let's just ask God to probe our hearts and say, Lord, am I a generous, am I a good steward of what you give to me? Or is most of my spending on myself or my family? if you're married. Ask God, Lord, teach me to be a generous steward of all that you give me. You know, one of the things we say at church all the time, you can never outgive God. And so even being a generous steward, God is so gracious, it always comes back. That creates space for more generosity. And maybe you were generous, and for some reason, you stopped being. Ask God to speak to you why. And then just talk to him about that. And as Jeff leads us in worship, let's just meditate. Let's pray this morning. Man. Let's pray for the heart like the churches in Macedonia. Let's pray for a real spirit of generosity and just of giving, regardless of circumstances. That the motivation, more than anything else, is the grace of God. The simple reality is I can be generous. Because God has been so generous to me. I can give freely because I have freely received. And it's almost like a assembly line. I receive and I give. It just continues to flow that way. And then when that happens, I continue to receive and I continue to give. And when things like that are just flowing, life happens. Now imagine that if you received and there's nothing flowing, it just kind of stops. And everything kind of gets out of whack. And so let's pray. Let's pray for our hearts. Let's pray as a church that we would be generous, especially in missions and, you know, to the poor and all that the things, the agendas that God gives to us as a body. And let's pray individually and for the church. Let's pray together. Let's now share in the burdens of the members of our church family. Let's pray for our members, family members that are going through health difficulties. So let's lift up our ones that are struggling with cancer, going through chemo, or looking for transplants. So let's ask God to just continue to touch and bring healing word through them. Let's pray. Let's pray for ones that are ill, but more than that, just need that word of salvation. Now let's lift them up. Let's also pray for others that are going through different kinds of illnesses. Let's pray for our members that are looking for work and let's ask God to provide supernaturally for them. Open up doors and more than anything, just really give them insight in what they should be doing now to even maybe narrow the choices that may be offered to them right now. So let's pray. So our mission prayer focus, let's pray for Cambodia today. Let's thank God for the teams that went out this summer. Just really incredible testimonies. Let's pray for Pastor Tang at New Life Church. Pray for Pastor Oh. Pray for the Center of Peace Orphanage and Grace and at Bloom. Let's also lift up the Philippines. Pray for our clinic there and Elder Chang. And I pray for Bhutan. Let's pray that God will continue to open doors in this country. Let's lift up these three places and ask the Spirit of God to breathe and just bless all of our friends that are ministering there, the local churches there, that these countries be one for Christ. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our ministries. Let's pray for our prayer teams. Ask God to be with Matt as he leads. Let's pray for Cascade and the Well and local outreach. Let's pray for the leaders and all the volunteers that help out, that give a tremendous amount of time to bring healing and to cover people in prayer. And so let's just really ask God's hand to be with them, to strengthen them, that they would really serve with so much joy. Let's lift up our leaders and our volunteers in these ministries. Thank you. Let's pray for our Bible study tonight. We're going to be doing a joint session again. Pastor Sophia is not feeling well. And so let's just really pray as the women and men gather again tonight. Let's pray for the Word of God to just flow so powerfully. I had such an awesome time last week teaching. And so let's pray for God to really use this time tonight to really point out issues that men and women have, but more than that, just to really draw each of them to the Lord. Let's pray for the people that come and just the fellowship, and pray for real impartation of knowledge, but more than that, our transformation in our hearts. Let's pray for the men at the church. Seem to be a little slacking compared to the women. And so let's just really ask God to bring the men out, that they would learn and grow and really turn into the men of God that God has, that wants them to be. So let's lift up our Bible study tonight. Let's pray over our retreat. Let's ask God to just breathe over this so important event in our church. Let's pray that every person that calls SP their home, that they would come out. And you know, they actually wouldn't even be coaxed into it. It would just come, it would just flow out of them, because this is their part of this community. We shared today in Corinthians about this koinonia. Let's just really ask God to build excitement. Pray for the speakers. Pray for Pastor Dom and for Pastor Ong Sek Leng. And I'm really excited. I've heard so much about Pastor Ong. He's an internationally known prophet. And the great thing is both these guys, they're both pastors as well. And so it's just really that incredible combination of being pastoral and being prophetic. And so let's really ask God to give them messages. Pray for all the logistics, you know, the ferries, everyone's fundraising, or getting their funds in time, as well as getting time off work if some need to. And let's just really cover all the different logistics for the retreat, and let the people of God come and just be totally transformed. I'm just totally rocked by God. And so let's just lift up our retreat before the Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you for this morning, God. We thank you for the example of the Macedonian church, Lord. They gave, Lord, even out of their poverty, and they were filled with so much joy. Lord, how much more should we, out of the richness, God, of the riches of that you've lavished upon us here in Hong Kong, how much more, God, should we be giving generously to your work, God, for the kingdom of God? Lord, teach us, God. Teach us through the Macedonian example, Father. God, and We give, Lord, because we have received so graciously from you. And we thank you for that, Lord God. Teach us to be a generous church, a generous people, Lord. Now watch over us the rest of this day, Lord. Help us to give you our very best in all that we do, Lord, because you deserve nothing less than that, God. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today. Hopefully we'll see many of you tonight at Bible study or tomorrow morning.